the demand of faith operates in and through Jesus as high priest of our confession of faith in his word out our mouths. He is there to see to it that that comes to pass in spite of all hell can do.
The words you speak in faith will move the kingdom of God into action. Join Kenneth Copeland today on the Believer's Voice of Victory and learn how the force of faith counteracts fear and its destruction.
Now then, Jeremiah 1:12 says, God hastens his word to perform it. The Amplified translation says that he is actively watching over his word to perform it. 26th chapter of the book of Genesis, when God appeared to Isaac and said, I will perform the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. Well, the Bible says that through Jesus, we are blessed with Father Abraham. He will perform the oath that he swore to your father Abraham. Praise God. So, in realizing all this, understanding this, then what's keeping me from receiving? If God is actively watching over his word to perform it, what's got me so fouled up here? I mean, where's the problem here? Now, you have to learn to ask that question honestly. You have to learn to ask it not only to God, but ask yourself, because it's not God holding out on you. That's religion's excuse. And that's a lie from hell. It is not God holding out on you. It's not a matter of God healed one and didn't heal the other one or wouldn't heal the other one. One received and the other one didn't. The same thing is available through Christ Jesus. He is no respecter of persons. I like what Jesus said in Luke 5 when the leper came up to him and said, I know you can, but will you? I know you can, but will you heal me? I know you can, but is it your will? Now, people are praying that all over the place. Have prayed it for years. And it wasn't true then, it isn't true now. What is true, Jesus said, one translation said, I most certainly, assuredly will. Amen. Now, you just traveled through Jesus' entire ministry, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and all the rest of the New Testament, and you're not going to find anywhere in there where he told somebody they need to keep this a while, need to learn something, or not. He never refused anybody.
Amen.
Amen. Well, don't you know there's bound to be at least one rascal in there that shouldn't have been healed? Not in God's viewpoint. No. I wish I had time to really wail in there on that this morning, but I don't. But you'll see through it as we go here. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Also, go ahead and find Luke chapter 8. In fact, let's go to Luke 8. We'll read that first and then we'll go back over to the book of Hebrews. I want to walk you through this process. And we'll do it carefully. I don't want to rush through it. In Luke 8, you remember this story, if you think about it a moment. It's when Jairus got out of the boat and fell in the mud face down before Jesus and said, my little daughter lieth at home to point of death. Come lay your hands on her and she'll live. Well, Jesus just began to follow him home. So, on the way, the woman with the issue of blood caught the hem of his garment and stopped him. So now I want you to notice something here. It's not... I want to say this where you don't misunderstand it. Jesus is certainly being led by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one that got him there. Are you listening? But it was not the Spirit of God that was controlling his movement. It was the faith of Jairus and the faith in the woman with the issue of blood. Jairus got him on the move towards his house, and the woman stopped him right in the middle of the road. So see, the demand of faith operates in and through Jesus as high priest of our confession of faith in his word out our mouths. He is there to see to it that that comes to pass in spite of all hell can do. That's his job. That's what he's anointed to do. Now, the problem most of the time is not giving him anything to work with. Crying and going on and carrying on. I don't understand why you don't do something about this. I mean, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, he's not going to violate his office and his calling for you or me or anybody else. But thank God for his mercy. Amen. But there, when you walk in the floor said, Jesus, God, where are my children tonight? They're probably out there on dope somewhere. Oh, God, please don't let this happen. Oh, God, don't let my boy go to jail. Oh, God. There ain't an ounce of faith in that. You are jobbing up this situation. Now, get off of that. Worry is a manifestation of fear. It is an extremely serious manifestation of fear. Well, I can't sleep. Well, that's your own dumb fault. I realize I'm being tough on you. I'm going to get tougher than this on you.
That's all right.
I'm like Creflo last night. I'm tired of playing church. I've been talking to you about this for 40 years, and some of you come every year and still don't do nothing about it. Well, quit jobbing things up. Hallelujah. The thing that's happening, you learn, make the 127th Psalm, the second verse. You ought to know that. Ooh. It says, it is vain to get up early and stay awake late at night feeding on the bread of sorrow. Because he gives his beloved sleep.
Amen.
I go to bed at night. I head toward the bed. Say, he gives his beloved sleep. Oh, glory to God. And whatever went with today, I roll all the care of it on my Father who loves me just as much as he does Jesus. I receive the love and I receive the gift of sleep. You better lay down fast because you're going to fall down if you don't. And you hit that bed and you go sound asleep and you wake up in the middle of the night and you say, oh, glory to God. I sure am enjoying this night, Jesus. I'm so glad the blessing's working for me, preparing the day for me tomorrow. The blessing's working in me now. I wake myself up in the nighttime praying that and saying that out loud. Oh, thank God the blessing's working. Oh, the blessing of Abraham is mine. The blessing of Adam. Adam's mandate to be fruitful and multiply is working in me now. It's preparing my day for tomorrow. And my God loves... Oh! And out you go again. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a way to live. I spent my young life never sleeping. I didn't know how. And my physical body was all messed up way back then from things that happened to me that I don't take time to go in now. But I didn't know. Sometimes I go 3 or 4 days without any sleep. And then just fall out, you know, like somebody knock you in the head. And then you wake up and go hours and hours. Just messed up all over the place. Not anymore. Not when I found out that it is vain to feed on the bread of sorrow. Glory to God. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he add no sorrow to it. Praise God. Just shut up, go to sleep, and let God work. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, oh, I wish I could get that confident. Well, you just hang around here a little bit. You'll be there. Now, when they came up and told Jairus, your daughter's already dead. Don't trouble the master any longer. I want you to look in verse 50. When Jesus heard, he answered him saying, fear not. Now, that command is given over 100 times in the Bible. Fear not. In fact, 110 times, God said, fear not. Jesus said, fear not. Now listen. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. And she shall live. And she shall live. Fear not. Believe only, and it will happen. Amen. You hearing that?
Yes.
Fear not, believe only, and you shall be delivered from debt. Fear not, believe only, and you shall, whatever it is. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. There's not anything in the world order that faith won't overcome. But you contaminate it with fear. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Now, don't forget that. It messes with it because they operate on the same plane. Fear is faith in death. And they operate on the same plane. Faith worketh by love. Car worketh by gas. Faith worketh by love. You understand now? Perfected, developing love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. It's that torment on your mind that is saying, oh, you know what? Maybe I better go check on him. This might not work this time. Maybe I better hang on to that doctor's appointment in case God don't heal me. Now, you know better than that in your heart, but your heart's not running things. Your head's running things, and fear is controlling your thinking. Fear is controlling the way you're seeing things around you. And so, well, I don't know. I don't seem like I'm scared. Most people have the idea that fear is only there when you're frightened. No, fear was there as a reason you got frightened. Fright don't work if there's not any fear there. There's no torment, then the tormentor doesn't have anything to torment you with. The torment is the challenge against the word. And if you have ever violated the commandment of love without repenting, then fear is present. Because it takes the love of God to keep it out. Faith filled with love will overwhelm it and overcome it. The love casts it out. Love flushes it out of there. But you're going to have to stay with it long enough to where you get rid of the mind symptoms of it. A lot of it's habit. Worry is a habit. Job got into that habit, like killed everybody around him. Because Satan is a killer. Now, let's look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, so that through death he might destroy, or the direct translation of the word that's translated destroy there, is to completely paralyze and put out of commission forever.
Amen.
Him that had, past tense, that had the power of death, that is the devil, and, say and, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Step number one in the process of no fear here. Totally eradicating it. Flushing it out. Not coping with it. Come to the absolute Bible rock solid conviction that we have been delivered from fear. Well, Brother Copeland, you just don't understand. I just get paralyzed at the very thought of getting on an airplane. I'd be headed to the airport this morning. I'm not going to let that function in my life. Mm-mm. No, not one more day. People control their children with fear. Generational curses are real. But most people don't understand why there's such thing as a generational curse. The problem is, you were raised by your parents. They were raised by their parents, and they were raised by their parents, and they were raised by their parents. They taught you how to talk, and you've been talking yourself to death ever since. Well, when you think through it, that's the reason that something gets started in a family, and it'll just get passed down. And if the devil ever gets in there and begins to steal from that family, then they'll carry it on, and they'll get to where they have faith in it. Well, now you know your daddy died with heart trouble, and your granddaddy died with heart trouble, and I expect your heart's in trouble right now. Every night you go to bed, you feel your heart. Let's see. I'm 37. Daddy died at 42. My Lord, I ain't got but 5 years. What am I going to do here? Can you see how the devil just stay right in there? He'll kill you. And you can set in motion certain spiritual laws, particularly if you're a born-again believer and you're saying things like that and you're functioning and not acting on fear. You can set in motion certain spiritual laws that can't nobody change but you. And if you get in a car wreck and get unconscious or in some kind of coma or something like that, they can't anybody change that. They can't turn it around because you're the one that set it in motion. Well, I'll never live to be 50 years old. Well, I don't want to be standing next to you on your 49th birthday. I'm going to stay away from you till you change that. You set that in motion, and it's going to come to pass. Well, you call that generational curse, but I'll tell you what, any generation can put a stop to it. You can stop it today. You can stop it today. You have to change your way of thinking. How do you change your way of thinking? How do you change what you think? You can write this down because you need this. To change your thought patterns and the way you think. Think something different on purpose. Until you no longer have to think that way. In other words, you go to the Bible and you get God's thought about this. There's a man that was, boy, he was on the last legs of his heart. And he was in his 40s and he went over to my mother's prayer group and she didn't know him. I did. I knew him because he was a year older than me. I guess he's 2 years older than me. And went to same high school that I went to. I wasn't all that close to him personally, but I knew him. I knew who he was, knew his ministry fairly well. But Mama didn't. And he went over there, going to get her to pray for him for the healing of his heart. And he said, Sister, my dad died with heart trouble. My granddad died with heart trouble. His mother had told him all his life, now you Hester boys all die of heart trouble. And he was raised thinking that. And he said, I've got high blood pressure and heart trouble now. And my mother said, tell me the truth about that. He said, I just told you the truth. My daddy died with heart trouble. My granddad died with heart trouble. And I've got high blood pressure and heart problems now. She said, I told you to tell me the truth about that. And it made him mad. He said, lady, I just told you the truth about that. He told me, he said, Kenneth, she boxed my ears. He said, she took both hands and slapped the sides of my head right over my ears. Said, my ears were ringing. Said, she slapped her hands up next to my head. And then she caught my ears and started shaking my head. And she said, do you know what Isaiah 53 says? He said, yes, I do. She said, what does it say? He said, by his stripes I'm healed. She said, now, that's the truth about that. But she told me then later when he walked in the door, she saw the spirit of death on him. And she knew she had to get through and get through quick because he was dying. He's killing himself. Just like his daddy and his granddaddy did. Now who was doing this? His mama. She wasn't doing it on purpose. But she was afraid he's going to die. She's jobbing this thing up. She like killed him. But the day he told me about this, I had gone over to my favorite motorcycle store, and I had something I wanted to pick up over there. I just rode over there more just to be out riding around than anything else. I walked in the door, and he was sitting at the counter in there on a stool with a telephone in his hand. And he saw me and he waved at me and said, sit down there. So I walked over and sat down on that stool there in that motorcycle shop. And he said, oh, yes. Oh, glory to God. He said, hallelujah. And he put the phone down and he said, I want to tell you this story. So he told me what I just told you. And he said, now I just got through talking to my doctor that gives me my physical every year. He said, Copeland, this week is my 60th birthday. And he said, I just got the results on my physical exam. And he said, my doctor just told me I got the heart of a 16-year-old kid. Hallelujah. See, he broke that. He broke that curse the moment my mama had to slap his jaws to get his attention and make him mad. But she got through. She broke that spirit of death on him. And actually, tell you the truth, she cast that spirit of death off of him. And he walked out of there kind of dazzled. But he got a hold of it, thank God. Amen. Still alive today. Still preaching the gospel today. Praise God. Amen.
For four decades, this has been the heart of Kenneth Copeland's ministry.
You put that word of God in your mouth and you say, Lord, you don't have to come down here and appear to me. Why, no. The faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
And in the audio series, You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life, Kenneth delivers in-depth teaching on the biblical principles that changed his life years ago and will change yours today.
When his word comes out of your mouth, he is obligated by his calling from the Almighty as Lord, head of the church, to see to it that all of heaven's authority is behind what you see.
Learn the key to enriching your faith and how to defeat worry and fear. This CD series outlines the lessons and delivers the teaching that will put your life into God's overflow.
We are the prophets of our own life.
To request your copy of You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This 12 CD set by Kenneth Copeland is now available for just $25. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Learn how the words you say affect every part of your life. Order your copy of You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life today.
Hello, I'm Kelly Copeland. I've got great news for you today. You are the prophet of your own life. Now, maybe you think, okay, that's not such great news because I haven't been saying good things about my life. Well, good. You need to get this teaching. You're the prophet of your own life. My dad's CD set, it's a great ministry to you. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you think. You know, Mark 11:23 says you can have what you say. You're having what you say, whether it's good or bad. So if you don't like what you have, then change what you're saying. Amen. This teaching will help you to learn that, to put a guard over your mouth, and to begin enjoying the blessed life that God wants you to enjoy. So order yours today using the information on your screen. Father, we just ask you today to put a watch over our mouths. We ask you, Lord, to cause us to say the right things. Remind us, Lord, if we're about to say something that is not pleasing to you or that something that we don't want in our mouths. We ask you to put a guard and a watch over our mouths. Correct us, change us, search us, Lord, and tell us if there's any evil way in us. We will change our lives to reflect what you want from us. In the name of Jesus, amen. That's kind of a hard prayer to pray, isn't it? But you can do it because he's going to help you today. Make your plans now to join us for the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. He will help you to get there, too. November the 8th through the 10th at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. This meeting is always awesome. My mother, Gloria Copeland, will be having healing school on Saturday morning. Hey, do you need your eyes healed? Do you need your legs healed? Do you need your body healed? Well, come, because we always have amazing testimonies of healing and deliverance, of restoration and miracle. It's always exciting. So come join your faith with ours, with believers from all over the world. For more information, go to kcm.org and you'll find out more about it. This is Kelly Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To order a copy of this broadcast or today's product offer, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Make the decision to walk in love and live by faith. This is the year of the open door, and the blessing is yours.
Your door is open. Come out for an intimate time together in God's Word with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. It's time for the 2007 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join us from the 8th to the 10th of November at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, visit us online at kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.
Next Sunday on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
There's something down on the inside of your spirit called the joy of the Lord. And joy is not dependent on your comfort. It's not dependent on the happiness of your flesh. It's not dependent on anything except love and the Word